हरि बुधा दिदायवं माम साधि यज्ञं च ये विदुः प्रयाणकाले पिचास्मान् ते विदुर्युक्तचेतसः. Those in full consciousness of me, who know me, the Supreme Lord, to be the governing principle of the material manifestation, of the demigods and of all methods of sacrifice, can understand and know me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, even at the time of death. Purport by His Divine Grace. Abhay Charanaravinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada. Persons acting in Krishna consciousness are never deviated from the path of entirely understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the transcendental association of Krishna consciousness, one can understand how the Supreme Lord is the governing principle of the material manifestation and even of the demigods. Gradually, by such transcendental association, one becomes convinced of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and at the time of death, such a Krishna conscious person can never forget Krishna. Naturally, he is thus promoted to the planet of the Supreme Lord, Goloka Vrindavan. This seventh chapter particularly explains how one can become a fully Krishna conscious person. The beginning of Krishna consciousness is association of persons who are Krishna conscious. Such association is spiritual and puts one directly in touch with the Supreme Lord. And by His grace, one can understand Krishna to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. At the same time, one can really understand the constitutional position of the living entity and how the living entity forgets Krishna and becomes entangled in material activities. By gradual development of Krishna consciousness in good association, the living entity can understand that due to forgetfulness of Krishna, he has become conditioned by the laws of material nature. He can also understand that this human form of life is an opportunity to regain Krishna consciousness and that it should be fully utilized to attain the causeless mercy of the Supreme Lord. Many subjects have been discussed in this chapter. The man in distress, the inquisitive man, the man in want of material necessities, knowledge of Brahman, knowledge of Paramatma, liberation from birth, death, and diseases, and worship of the Supreme Lord. However, he who is actually elevated in Krishna consciousness does not care for the different processes. He simply directly engages himself in activities of Krishna consciousness and thereby factually attains his constitutional position as an eternal servitor of Lord Krishna. In such a situation, he takes pleasure in hearing and glorifying the Supreme Lord in pure devotional service. He is convinced that by doing so, all his objections will be fulfilled. This determined faith is called Dhrita Vrata, and it is the beginning of Bhakti Yoga, or transcendental loving service. That is the verdict of all the scriptures. This seventh chapter of the Bhagavad Gita is the substance of that conviction. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the seventh chapter of the Srimad Bhagavad Gita in the matter of knowledge of the Absolute Truth. Sri Bhagavan Krishna is concluding the 7th chapter of Srimad Bhagavad Gita with this precious sloka. It is his word that one who is Krishna conscious will achieve the ultimate perfection of life. That one who sincerely and honestly practices the principles of devotional service will have the realization that Krishna is the controller of everything and everyone. That he is the only goal of life. When we are convinced of that, then naturally we take to Krishna consciousness wholeheartedly. And at the time of death, we are elevated to the spiritual world. Much of what is being spoken here, both in the translation as well as through the Prabhupada's purport, is the importance of conviction. Conviction is another word for faith. That we have to be convinced, not only theoretically, but within our hearts, that we are not these bodies. We are the eternal soul. And that Krishna's beautiful, merciful personality is the source of everything that exists. And that without loving him and serving him with that love, there can be no true fulfillment in our life. These are basic principles. And all the ornamented philosophy of Krishna consciousness that deals with so many technicalities and details are really meant to convince us of these simple basic principles. How is it that a person who can speak very elaborate, technical, philosophical, logical lectures, could at a certain point in life depart from the path of devotional service? It happens often. That means they were never really convinced that Krishna's God, or that I'm not this body. If you're actually convinced that you're not this body, you will not engage in sense gratification. If you're actually convinced that Krishna is God, then you won't do anything that will displease him. And if we do, we will feel very, very much his presence. And we will be praying for greater strength to continue on in the future with more honor and integrity. So we find within our bhakti shastras many simple people who had this conviction and who lived by this conviction. We know that death is coming. We see it all around us, even when we're children. Almost everybody gets some disease at some time in their life where they almost die. Almost everybody is in a position where they're in an automobile and it's about to crash, and just one split second of some grace of God saves our life. We're all in a situation where we're playing or walking down the street and something just about smashes us in the head and kills us? Even you children, have any of you felt in your life that you were very, very close to death? Yes? If you're aware, sometimes we're so unconscious we don't see it. Every time you drive on the street, you are this close to death. According to the New York Times, 95% of all truck drivers in India are intoxicated with either drugs or alcohol. Beyond the limits by which they could possibly drive safely. How many times when you're driving, these trucks are coming like this? You should know, 98% of those truck drivers are unfit to drive a truck. In the Western world, if you're caught with even 2% alcohol content in you as a truck driver, you get put in jail and then you lose your license for 10 years minimum. Because people getting killed in automobile accidents is one of the top ways of death in the world. And automobile accidents, when you're in an automobile accident, Yamaraj does not discriminate of whether you're 16 years old or 86 years old. When your skull goes crashing through the windshields, you're dead. Hare Krishna. So it happens every day. So every time we're driving, actually we're this close to death. If we don't believe it, it's because we're in illusion, but it is a fact. And even eating. When I was in Jaipur once, somebody told me that one of his friends, he went to those sugarcane crusher shops where they go and they crush the sugar cane, it goes into a glass. Well, when he wasn't looking, one of those little green lizards that are everywhere happened to just go into it and nobody saw it. And the person drank it and a couple hours later he died because they're full of intense poison. How many of you have those lizards sometimes crawling around in your house? No? They're everywhere. They're always in my bedroom in Radha Gopinath temple. Keep me company. Hare Krishna. So you can be cooking and you don't even see. They may just fall in the dal. And you boil the poison out of them. And you don't even know it. And you serve it. Here, my dear child, take this dal. It's very good for you. It has protein. So there's so many ways that death could come upon us, whoever we are. In Kali Yuga, there's just a very, very fine, thin border between remaining alive and dying, moment by moment. We have to have conviction that actually we are not this body, we are the eternal soul. And therefore, what am I doing at this very moment to realize this reality? And the only true friend that any of us have is Krishna. Because all of our other friends will leave us in due course of time. But Krishna is the Paramatma. Birth after birth after birth, however many times you reject him, he always remains right next to you. Just waiting for you to turn to him. He's willing to give you everything. He's willing to give you an eternal life full of bliss and full of knowledge. All you have to do is say, Krishna, I'm yours. He is our true friend. But do we have that faith? Do we actually have that conviction? That comes through good association. Prabhupada puts great stress in his commentary to this verse that if we have good association and sincere desire, then that conviction gradually becomes very strong and genuine. And with that conviction, we can cross every obstacle in life, and we can even cross the obstacle of death. Dhrupa Maharaj is such an example. He was a 5-year-old child, and his mother, who was actually a great devotee, she was just a simple housewife. She was hardly in the role of a queen at all. Officially, she had that status, but because another queen was being favored more than her, she was really given no honor or respect. She had a very hard life. Sometimes we think if we're in a very wealthy environment, then life is easy. But that is a great illusion. It's not that the people living in the big, big palaces have any less problems or any less anxieties and miseries than the people living in those little houses made out of flattened out vanaspati containers. You have seen it. Just different types of problems, different types of anxieties. So she was in a miserable state, but in her miserable state, she always remembered Krishna. So when Dhruva Maharaj was insulted by his stepmother, Suruchi, he was in such anxiety. He was really miserable. His mother could not even bear looking at him in that miserable state. Because for a loving mother, the welfare of the child is far more significant than their own welfare. If you love someone, you're willing to endure terrible pains to make them happy. And of course, children rarely understand that this is what their parents are doing for them. It's just somehow or other the way material creation has been arranged. No matter how you explain to a child, they just can't grasp it until they grow up. But they should get some understanding. If they do, they will be protected from many terrible tragedies in life. I remember a few years ago I met an old friend of mine who was actually a very spiritual person. It's a long story. We grew up together as little children. And he told me, you know, everything that we rebelled against our parents for, now that I've grown up a little, I realize they were always right, and I was always wrong. Hare Krishna. If I would only listen to them, how much easier my life would be today. But it's taken so many miserable situations, so many being knocked on the head by material energy again and again and again, to finally come to the conclusion that what they told me was right. And if I would have listened, I could have just learned it right then and there. Now it's 40 years later, and I have to all practically start all over again. There is a saying that experience is the best teacher, and a fool learns by no other way. Now, usually they only tell the first part, but they don't like the second part. A fool learns by experience. An ignorant person doesn't learn even after experience. but an intelligent person learns by hearing. So somehow or other, when we're young, we just have conceptions that I know what's right, and whatever my parents tell me must be wrong. Just the fact that they're my parents means they must be wrong. At least that's the way it was in the West. And I know for sure that that influence is spreading very much in Bollywood. I'm very happy they renamed it Mumbai, because it brings Bombay back to its ancient traditions. If we meditate on what Mumbai means, the place of Mumba Devi, of Durga, Hare Krishna, makes us a little more serious about life. So, there was a saying when I was young that never trust anyone over 30. They're our enemies. Whatever they tell you, don't listen. Don't accept it. It's a trap. But then what happened is all those people, now they're all in their 40s and 50s and 60s. Hare Krishna. And they look back and think, how I wish I took advice from those people over 30. How much better my life would have been. So Dhruva Maharaj was 5 years old, but he had some culture. He understood his mother loved him very dearly. And as we have said, when you love someone, suffering, misery, doesn't really make any difference if we can somehow or other protect our beloved from having to suffer. That's affection. It's very rare in this world. But she was 10 times more miserable than Dhruva Maharaj by seeing his condition. And she gave him good advice. He said, I want a kingdom greater than my father and grandfather. He didn't like getting kicked off the throne. He wanted that throne. He wanted a better and bigger throne. So what could she do to give it to him? She was helpless. But she told him that your desires could be fulfilled if you worship Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is love. What can we give to anyone? If we actually are sincerely concerned with a person's welfare, we will direct them to Krishna. Guru na sasyat, svajadina sasyat, pitana sasyat, janina sasyat. Bhagavatam says one has no right to be a guru, a worshipable demigod, a mother or a father, unless one can assure his dependent that he will not have to take birth again in this material world. So she directed her son to Krishna. And Dhruva Maharaj had one thing. He had conviction. That if I can somehow or other get the mercy of Krishna, my desires will be fulfilled. And Narada Muni came and tested his conviction. Dhruva, you're just a 5-year-old child. Don't take these things so seriously. Go back and play. Get an education. In one place, Prabhupada said that Dhruva said, if you're not going to help me get Krishna, stand aside, Gurudev. So Narada was very, yes, you go to Madhuban, you worship the deity, you perform tapasya, you chant this mantra, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, by that association, he achieved Krishna. And all the obstacles of life he overcame, even the obstacle of death. When it was time for his death, death personified, put his head down to be the step that Dhruva Maharaj puts his foot on before boarding an airplane to Vaikuntha. To show, if we take shelter of Krishna, even the ultimate obstacle of death itself is easily overcome. Association is the essential ingredient that determines our spiritual lives. Sometimes, due to the glare of Maya, various types of association seem very attractive. And sometimes our mind and senses are very much infatuated by people, by places, by various devices and things. But we have to have a humility to accept proper guidance so that we know what is actually good for me. We have seen, as you get older, you just see more and more confirmations of the exact precision truth of the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. And when we see people deviate from that, we see what happens to them. And it's very sad to the heart, but at the same time, it's very invigorating to our faith that what Prabhupada said is right. It's true. Not only philosophically, but practically. Association will determine all the decisions we make in life. Just like we have Gaur Kishore Prabhu here today. He's a young gentleman, Vaishnav. And so many of his friends, or let us say people that he have grown up with, are very much absorbed in varieties of sinful activity and sense gratification. Is that correct? Even these reunions you go to, sometimes they're not always doing kirtan and bhajan and harikatha. Sometimes drinking, sometimes taking drugs, sometimes having sex. This is the material world. That's Western civilization. And when I came to Italy and there was this big, big reunion and there was all kinds of people doing all kinds of things there, Gaur Kishore was just attending the kirtans and he came and started traveling with me just for Harikatha and always asking nice questions. So because he's choosing the right association, he's effulgent. Stand up. Let everyone see how effulgent you are. You don't have to stand up. Your effulgence is filling the room. But here is an example. And practically every one of us, to come to Krishna consciousness, we have to make serious sacrifices in regard to the association we keep. We have to have conviction, and we have to associate with those who will actually help us to develop that conviction. Otherwise, as the years go by, we simply regret, what have I done? I often quote the example of one of my very dearest godbrothers who fell away from Krishna consciousness about 20 years. And after getting a life-threatening disease, on his deathbed, he actually surrendered to Krishna wholeheartedly. But he was weeping and crying. He said, the only regret in life is, why did I waste so much time? I could have done so much for my Guru Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada, but I didn't. And it was all based on just choosing the wrong association. So yes, life is uncertain. What tragedies, what joys, what type of health or disease, how long we live or when we die, these are all dualities, and we do not know what the next moment will bring. But one thing we can be certain of, if we're just in the right association, taking pleasure in hearing and chanting about Krishna, and living a pure, honest life, then our future is guaranteed. The joy of the spiritual world will awaken in our heart in this very life, and we will always be with Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
So today is Pooja Mataji's birthday. This is my birthday message to Pooja and to everyone else whenever you have your birthdays. Because this is the eternal message of Bhagavad Gita in a very simplified form. We should try to always remember Krishna and associate with Krishna. And then we'll always be safe. Of course, in the age of Kali Yuga, there's a certain heroic prestige in taking risk. Really, it's insane. Totally insane. We have seen in New York City and other places, San Francisco, probably here in Bombay too, where it's considered a very, very popular thing to take risk. They made all this propaganda about the dangers of cigarette smoking. On every pack of cigarette, Surgeon General of the United States says the cigarettes is dangerous to your health. And there's whole lists of diseases that cigarettes are guaranteed to give you. Cancer of the lungs, cancer of other areas of your body, heart disease, emphysema, or so many diseases. And in different packs, it tells the different diseases, just like you get a box of cigarettes, each pack tells the different diseases you'll get. Guaranteed. My father told me when he was young, nobody had any idea that cigarettes were bad. It was like fashionable. It was like a sex symbol to smoke cigarettes. And some of these movie star, he always had a cigarette hanging out of his mouth. And the way he did it, the whole of America was trying to get their cigarettes to hang out of his mouth, just like him, because he was such a sex symbol and such a handsome, heroic person. That was the fashion. And he died of cancer of the lips. It's true. And another person, one of the most famous singers, he would sing with a cigarette, and he would just sing, and then he'd sing again, and then all the singers were trying to imitate how you could smoke while you're singing. This is amazing. And he died of cancer of the lungs when he was only in his 40s. So when the Surgeon General started coming out and saying, cigarettes are going to kill you, stop smoking. When that message came out, cigarette smoking became more popular amongst the young people. because they're trying to prove to themselves that I'm daring, I'm fearless. I don't care if I'm risking my life, I'm going to do it to be cool. This is very fine. The young ladies, they're smoking cigarettes too, and to show, I don't care, I'm fearless. Yes, I know, it will kill me. Hare Krishna. Then they get a little older. They're thinking, why didn't I listen to the Surgeon General? What kind of fool am I? That's just an example of the mentality of material existence. We're not willing to listen to good advice. A devotee wants blessings from senior Vaishnavas in everything they do. Because if you have those blessings, you know you'll always be safe. You'll always have Krishna. Well, happy birthday, Puja, and happy birthday to everyone else, whenever your birthday may be. Please take my message seriously, because it is for your actual best interest. My hope is that 20 years later you don't listen to this tape that Baladev Prabhu was recording and think, why didn't I listen? You'll be making your own tapes. You won't have to listen to these tapes. You'll be reading Srila Prabhupada's books, and every word you see will just be Prabhupada's divine love emanating from the pages, melting your heart. Thank you very much. Is there any questions? Devi Priya Mataji, it is your birthday today. My respectful obeisances at your lotus-like feet. Abhiram Prabhu, today is your appearance day. My respectful obeisances at your lotus feet. It's a very auspicious day. Everyone give your pray for the blessings of Pujamat by loudly chanting Hari Bol. Next in line is Devi Priya Mataji. Hari Bol. Let us invoke Radha Gopinath's blessings upon Abhiram Prabhu. Let us invoke Radha Gopinath's blessings upon everyone else in the room, whenever their birthday may be. Actually, this whole birthday stuff is kind of nonsense. But if it gives us a chance to appreciate Vaishnavas, then it's wonderful. Then it's wonderful. But from the material point of view, you know, what is it? You're getting closer to death. Certain speculative calendar type of arrangements are made. We have told many times that in Vedic culture, when it's birthday, the person gives all kinds of charity to the Brahmins. But in material civilization, everyone's expecting all kinds of gifts for themselves. That's the difference. Vedic culture is a culture of service, and Western culture is a culture of enjoying selfishly. It's very symbolic. when Krishna took his birth, every birthday, Yashoda Mai, Rohini Devi would give all kinds of gifts to Krishna to give to the Brahmins. He would just be giving charity. That's how it was. But now everyone wants everything for themselves. The difference is a culture of service and a culture of selfish enjoyment. So, of course, Rupa Goswami explains that one of the Vaishnava exchanges is giving gifts and receiving gifts. So if someone gives us a gift for whatever reason, we should be humbled by that and think, just see this devotee's love and compassion to a person like me. But we should be very, very eager to give, not to receive. That will give pleasure to the soul. Thank you very much. Any other question? Yes, Muralidhar Prabhu.
You mentioned in the lecture that the expenses of young generation, if they are only listening to the parents, then they will be much more happier if they realize after 3 years. So that is true from the materialistic point of view, but from the spiritual point of view, the parents are not devotees and then they oppose whatever principles.
If your parents are devotees, then you are most fortunate. If your parents are not devotees, then you have to go to someone who knows. In my own life, I could say that from the material point of view, most things my parents told me when I was young that I rejected, I agree with now. However, when I came in contact with Krishna conscious philosophy, then I understood that we could take whatever good they have given us and use it for the best purpose, and that is the service of Krishna. But usually we have to grow up a little to be able to discriminate. We should accept what is favorable for devotional service and reject what is unfavorable. If our parents are Krishna conscious, then we can wholeheartedly accept that they know better than me in all regards. If they are not, then we should associate with people who will give us Krishna conscious vision. And whatever good they're telling us, we should accept that and use that in Krishna's service. Just like my mother now, she'll say, you should eat healthier food. So I'll say, yes, yes, what you're saying is correct. There's not too many things I'll accept. But if she says something good, because she's a mother, she knows I need healthy food. But I have so many mothers telling me this. So we're especially speaking about Krishna conscious family life. Today's lecture is specifically about Krishna conscious family. We're not speaking about parents who are telling you to eat meat or to do all kinds of other crazy illicit things. We are talking about Krishna conscious family life. Thank you very much.
Srila Prabhupada ki.